Yes, hello folks, welcome to Beyond the Pitch. I'm Phil Brennan, as always, joined with my regular co-host Martin as we broadcast from San Jose the day before the Manchester United game against Real Madrid, of course, up here. I'm delighted to be joined here with a couple of United fans who we've collared to come and talk to us, ask them about why they follow Manchester United. These lads have been following United on tour for quite a while now. We're going to get their views as well about everything that's going on at Manchester United. First of all, let me introduce Payman and
Payman Amini
and Big Fish
Steve Fisher.
Boys, first of all, before we get into everything, tell us your background about why United fan. I'll throw it to you first, Payman. Why United fan?
Well, grew up, my father's first generation immigrant from Iran, so I grew up in the States, being one of the few outcasts. Grew up liking football as the number one sport in the household, so I grew up playing my whole life, and I had early exposure with satellite TV and everything before everything is basically been expanded to what it is today, where you can watch any game on your mobile at any time in any given minute. So just exposed early, my favorite player growing up, that he, you know, said I've always picked a couple of players, try to emulate. And so of course at that time I was my 10-12 years old, was Eric Cantona. And then he's like, if you want to be a good midfielder, make sure you follow closely and watch Paul Scholes. So just watched them nonstop since I was a kid and never wavered from there, and been following them ever since.
But you go to Old Trafford a lot, right?
Yeah, regularly, about half a dozen times a season or so. Cup games, if I can, cup finals. Obviously, it's a long journey for me living in Arizona now. I grew up on the West Coast, so it was either coming from California or Arizona, almost 5,000 miles, so I had to pick and choose my battles of which games to go to.
Steve, a little more of a local lad, being from close to the Manchester area, obviously living up in Canada now, we believe. Tell us your story.
Hi, yes. Basically born into United. I was born in Didsbury, Manchester, in 1956. And rumour has it, my great-great-grandfather watched Newton Heath. We've never really been able to absolutely determine that accurately, but that is the family folklore. My uncle was also a season ticket holder in what we called the cantilever stand. It's now called the Alex Ferguson stand. My first game was in 1964. I begged my father to take me. The situation was that my father was really a hunter and a fisherman, and he wasn't really into football, but even as a small boy I was, and I begged him to take me. So I did go to my first match in 1964. Started going regularly in 69. I was 13 years old. I remember the first biggest match I was at was the European Cup final, semi-final against AC Milan. It was a disallowed goal that night that knocked us out of the tournament. And I do remember watching the European Cup final in 1968 on television. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go. I watched United home and away, 69 through 79. I was pretty well ever-present during those years. And then eventually in 1980, I decided to move to Canada. So, there I am on the west coast of Canada in Victoria, British Columbia. But since then, I've been lucky enough to go to four Manchester United European Cup finals in Rome, London, Barcelona and Moscow. Recently attended the Europa Cup final in Stockholm. And have frequently gone back to traditionally finals, and sometimes we'll do a Christmas trip where we can catch three games in a row. Staunchly United. My firstborn son is called Andrew Trafford. My secondborn son is called Robert Charlton. You could call me a fanatic, I suppose.
Yeah, that's some background there, Fish. So as far as the tours go, the United pre-season tours, I'll throw it to you first, Payman. Have you been on tours before? Is this common for you to follow the team around the US when they've come out? Obviously, they've done several tours here now.
Yeah, ever since they've been coming to the US, it's really a no-brainer for me since I've been afforded the opportunity to do so. I think 2010, when they were back here in the States, that was probably my first time doing a tour here. And then every time they've been back since, met a bunch of good guys from across the pond, and expats living here in the States as well, that developed friendships over the years that I've met on tour and who I see every time I go back to watch United. So,
Steve, what about you?
Yeah, tours, they're a holiday to me. You know, they are friendly games, as you're all aware. But I've been lucky enough, I think I can say that I have been on at least a portion of every US tour since 1982. Was it 1981? I'm not sure of the date, but they did play in Vancouver way back then. And I attended the game in Vancouver. And since then, I've been on every tour since 2003.
Okay, so a couple of Reds there, immersed in the Manchester United fan culture. Of course, you know the club well, been travelling all over the world with fans. Before we get into the ins and outs of the tour, I want to ask you a quick question, lads, about ticket prices. Ticket prices have been a big bone of contention. You may have seen on the TV back home a lot of empty seats in these stadiums. Decent attendance last night, 67,000, but one of the biggest complaints you're hearing from people out in the United States is the price of tickets. Some of the ticket prices have been ridiculous, a couple of $100 for general admission, which is exploitation. It's really, really exploiting United fans and the cost of travelling around this enormous country as well. What's your take on the ticket prices, Payman?
Absolutely extortionate for the travelling Reds, especially, who've come all this way and follow United home and away on tour. I know a lot of them well, and yeah, ticket prices, I mean, you're paying more for a preseason friendly against an MLS side than you would a cup final, which is, you know, absolutely ridiculous. But you know, the culture here in the States and filling up stadiums, you get people who come and see United who've never seen a football match, or United or will never see United again, maybe perhaps in your lifetime. And they market to a lot of those fans who are just one time game only, and you know, they still draw a crowd, but I think nowhere near what it, I mean, even 10 years ago when tickets were under $100 half the price, you'd fill every game, maximum capacity. I remember the one in Michigan Stadium at the Big House, over 100,000. I think that was the largest attendance for any football match in America history. So, yeah, for me, they shouldn't be any more than $100, you know, especially you have a lot of younger kids playing here fresh out of college. They can't afford. America is large enough to travel from one side of the country to the other, let alone to stay on the same coast. But you throw in travel expenses, hotels, everything else, the ticket prices should be the least of your worries.
Fish?
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. I will add, I think it's a worldwide situation. I've recently attended friendly games in China, Australia, Thailand, and to be quite honest with you, those ticket prices were also extortionate. It isn't just a North American disease. The promoters that put these games on are, you know, really looking at it being a cash cow. And I'm not really sure how we can fight it, but it does seem to me that it needs to be fought. And, you know, whether it be MUST, the Supporters Trust, or, you know, organizations like One United, or the individual supporters club branches, we need to fight it. And I'm even hearing this year the friendly in Dublin, and also the friendly in Norway, are very, very highly priced. So it certainly isn't a North American disease, this situation. But similarly to the, I think it's the £30 is enough situation with the away tickets in England, you know, that was fan group pressure that came together to create a force of power that said, this is enough, it's enough money for an away ticket, for an away fan that is traveling, £30. I mean, and that's still, so that's a third of what we pay, you know, and that's been set in England. Now, you know, why can't we do similarly? It's probably because we're not really a single force, you know, we're very fragmented, and that's what I would like to see change. There needs to be change.
Yeah, there certainly does, and we've witnessed that, those prices firsthand, and it's pretty tough, you know, even for Philip and I to move around the country, like Payment says, the travel expenses incurred are astronomical. The ticket prices should be the last of your worries. But anyway, we're here. We follow. Despite all those ticket prices, we managed to get around the country and follow our boys. So the tour so far. What have you both made of the tour so far? And in particularly, the two new boys, Lindelof, Lukaku. How do you think they're settling in, team?
Well, Lukaku obviously has already bagged a couple of goals. You know, he's an absolute beast, in my opinion. Looks solid. It's just a matter of time, I guess, until, you know, he gels into the system. He seems to have a good working relationship with Pogba already in midfield behind him. So, yeah, I think he should settle in nicely. He's that target striker we've kind of needed, especially with Ibrahimovic out. It's a kind of almost a like-for-like replacement to some extent, being a target striker. Lindelof, haven't seen as much of him. He's just recently getting some spare minutes here and there for a couple of games, so I'm waiting for him to kind of show himself a bit more before I make any judgment. But so far, looks, you know, any kind of strengthening in the back that we can have to deepen our squad for when we incur those injuries over as many games as we play is a bonus. So,
Fish, very similar to Payman's comments. Certainly Lukaku, brilliant finish the other night against City. Left foot, it was very wide. He, and I was concerned. I thought, here we go, you know, he's going to have to turn and bring it back. But no, it's your first time. Sweet as you like. It was a great finish, and that's really good to see. Obviously, his strength is impressive. His ability to hold the ball up is superb. I'm just hoping that, as it sounds like, Jose Mourinho is going to persevere with the striking partnership of Rashford and Lukaku, and both young lads. You know, hopefully it's going to take some time. I'm not expecting it to come to fruition immediately, but you know, I am looking forward to watching those two learn, you know, together, play together, and I'm sure within time it's going to come good. They look really, really handy, and as I think as Martin mentioned the other day, actually in conversation. Lukaku brings us something that Zlatan didn't, and that is over the top. You know, the lads can play a through ball, and he's got the pace and the power to shake people off and get to the ball first. So it's very exciting to see, frankly. He's obviously a very good signing.
Let's talk about who isn't here. Let's talk about what United haven't done. Mourinho has had thinly veiled bootings of Ed Woodward, and it's clearly obvious that he's very frustrated with the fact that he's watching United's rivals sign players without any problems. Yes, they're paying over the top, they're paying over the odds, but nonetheless, they're getting the players anyway. We see Manchester City doing this, we see Chelsea doing this, and United haven't really done that. First of all, are you concerned about Mourinho's relationship with Ed Woodward and his frustrations? And are you concerned that this United team still lacking what it needs, the challenge for the title? Steve, we'll throw it over to you first.
Yeah, it's an interesting comment. I think like, you know, Manchester United's a business like every other business, and there's always some tension, friction between the chief operating officer, in this case Mourinho, and the chief executive officer, and in this case Woodward. Jose is judged by the results. He wants every single best player he can get. Possibly, you know, I probably might want another five. I mean, you know, if he doesn't win, if he doesn't get in the top four, if he doesn't win a trophy, you know, the guns are going to be out for him. He's the one that's in a precarious position. Usually, the managers usually are in that kind of results-based orientation, and then the CEO with Woodward. You know, CFO sort of thing with Woodward, he has to look after the pennies and the cents and make sure it's a viable business for the Glazers and all their other you know, business enterprises. So there's always that push pull between how many players does he want and how many players can we afford. I'm not a smart enough bloke to understand it all. It would seem to me like United certainly need another defensive midfield player. Michael Carrick's 36 years old now, and he didn't play every game last year, and nor should he at that age. I think that's the area that we need to strengthen. I'd be happy with one more signing, but whether it will come or not, it also depends on, I suppose, if their target come, you know, if their target is there, and if they can afford it, and they can crack a deal, and if they can, you know, make all the ducks in a row to get the man they want. That's the key.
Payment.
Yeah, just kind of to tack on what Fish said, you know, a lot of it, I think Mourinho, first of all, as manager, has every right to put the pressure on to get the signings that he wants, because that's, like what he said, that's his job, that's what he's judged on. And everywhere he's gone, if you look at Mourinho's track record, he's always been able to sign pretty much who he wants to bring in. and get the best out of them, and you know, in their prime. And United, we're kind of at a pivotal point right now where this is a season where we need to push on from last season and you know, be challenging for the title. So if he needs a couple of those extra players that he's already highlighted or earmarked, then you know, whether it be Perisic for another striking option up front, or again another you know, Matic for holding midfielder, I would also like to see some of the younger guys come through that we've already got. For instance, you know, in the back, Fosu Mensah, we have some more, you know, just kind of deepen the squad in the back for a long season again. Again, holding midfielder, like Fish said. Pereira, I'd like to see him break through. We still have Martial, who needs to, you know, prove himself here on tour possibly as well. So some fringe players trying to break into the first team. And then, you know, one or two more signings. I think we're right there, challenging.
Well, you know, we say one or two more signings, but do you not think at this point our squad is technically worse off and weaker than it was last year? I mean, you look at the likes of Schneiderlin, since January, Schneiderlin, Memphis, Rooney, Zlatan, Schweinsteiger, all gone. Young, Shaw, Rojo potentially out till December. And with only bringing Pereira back off loan and bringing in Lindelof and Lukaku, we're technically down four or five players for an already thin squad last year. We know we've looked good on tour so far, but we've certainly seen this in the past where we have a good tour and it doesn't translate to the season. You know, it's more of a training centre, a fitness regime in pre-season. Are you not concerned with a squad that was already thin has been made thinner?
Absolutely concerned with our squad depth, which is why I would like to see, you know, either some come through or some more signings, because like you said, especially with Ibrahimovic going down and us bringing in Lukaku, that's almost alike for like, and you're kind of at the same position that you were at the end of the season or before Ibrahimovic got injured, where we were at that same kind of squad. You know, we lost some other fringe players that he's had to let go. We've had some long-term injuries. So absolutely, maybe our starting 11, I don't think right now, maybe not as affected as much, but when you start seeing some injuries and you need that depth in squad, then absolutely, you have to have some reinforcements.
Yeah, it's interesting when you add up the list, frankly, there, Martin. You know, I mean, I still feel like one more major signing would I'd be happy with. I want the young players to come through. I want Fonsu Mensah seems to be very, very highly rated, and you know, I'd like to see at least two of those young lads get a chance this year. And if you buy too many, they might not get that chance. So I think the quality's there. The Champions League, I don't think, is quite as robust as the Europa League, as far as you know the pressure on the squad, slightly easier. And of course, we've been told that the Zlatan situation maybe will come back. There's also the January transfer window, so I'd be happy with one more. I would like to see these young lads get, you know, regular games in the League Cup and the FA Cup.
All right, lads, before you go, let's get a quick prediction for what you see in the up-and-coming season. Payment?
I'd like to see us challenging for the title, of course. So prediction, I'm thinking it's going to come down to the end, hopefully, and we'll be up there. I obviously want to see United win the title, so I'm going to predict that. But definitely top three. I think Mourinho has a lot of pressure on him this season after finishing sixth last season. You know, lucky enough to win the Europa, but pressure is definitely on to perform this season.
Yeah, top three for me, and maybe another cup, you know, FA Cup. Maybe I'd be happy with top three in FA Cup this year. We're not there yet. We're not quite there yet. This is a new team. It's really the additions this year I'm happy with. I think it's going to take another year, maybe two, for us to win it again, in my opinion. I don't think you can just buy it either. I don't think just bringing in new players is necessarily going to win it. I think it has to play together for a year or two. So my prediction would be, I'd be very happy with top three in another cup.
Well, there we go, folks. There we have it. So we've got Payman saying United will win the league this year, rather bold. Fish being slightly more realistic with a top three finish and another trophy. For me, I just want to see us play more attacking football than we did last season. I think we'll be challenging top two.
Yeah, I'll judge all these three by their predictions later on. I'm not giving one, so. Thanks very much, boys. Always a pleasure to talk to United fans. There's been tons of United fans up here. Everywhere we've gone, United fans have outnumbered the away fans. And always great to catch up with other fans from around the world who follow this amazing football club. Cheers, boys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks very much. Very enjoyable. Thanks,
boys.